Well, about 5 years ago, I read an interesting book written by Kyle Eidelman, who is a co-pastor at Southeast Christian in Louisville, called Not a Fan. He introduced me to a phrase that is so popular that an event that happens to people who are courting, that it just goes by initials, D-T-R. He said it's that official conversation that happens to every courtship between a man and a woman, D-T-R. Who knows what I'm talking about? Okay, teenagers, you all need to know this. Young people, wait till a lot later. But DTR, your parents paid me to say that. Okay, DTR, determine the relationship. See, that's the official conversation that you have between a boyfriend and girlfriend when they decide whether they're going to break up or keep on going together. It's determining whether the relationship is going to be casual or committed. Determine the relationship. So, what I want us to do is to spend a few minutes this morning for us to determine the relationship between you and me and Jesus. Spend the next few moments with Jesus determining your relationship with him. Because Jesus was so good at that. All throughout the New Testament, Jesus brought that up to people. Now, that's going to make some of us a little bit uncomfortable this morning. And the reason that will make us uncomfortable is that we kind of like Jesus the way he is. We've thought for a long time this Jesus is a good old boy. That everything he tells us to do is really kind of nice. We like visiting with him for about an hour on weekends. We don't mind that. And so we need to determine the relationship. You know, there are no strings attached. We like it when we can just be with him for a little while. We like all the benefits, but not the responsibilities. So it's going to make us a little bit uncomfortable, but that's what Jesus specializes in. Throughout the New Testament, remember? Remember when he came to Matthew at the IRS station and said, "Follow me"? Little Zacchaeus was up in the tree, and Jesus said, "I'm going to your house for lunch today." Saul, he met on the road to Damascus and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Mary and Martha were in the living room, not the kitchen, but the living room. And he said, "You have chosen the best part." Simon Peter at Caesarea Philippi, he said, "Who do people say that I am?" All of these were times of determining your relationship with Jesus. Now, Jesus wasn't so impressed with the big crowds, remember? He didn't care how many people there were, few or many. What he cared about was the level of commitment. And it bothers me a little bit that I think in these days we are so impressed, we think that we have such a large community of followers, when maybe all we have is a big stadium of fans, rather than followers. And it concerns me that it's a whole lot easier to wear a cross than to bear a cross. That's why Jesus kept bringing that up. Are you a fan or are you a follower? He said, if anyone, everyone would come after me, let him deny himself, herself, take up a cross and follow me. And you know, if you're just a fan, we know what the drill is like. You come to worship, you read your Bible, maybe you take notes, you sing, you shout, You pray, you leave. Maybe you have a fish on the trunk of your car. Or you say the blessing over your noon meal. But that doesn't necessarily make us a follower. It sort of inoculates us, and we have just enough of Jesus to keep us immune from getting the real thing. For a long time, we have confused knowing about Jesus with knowing Jesus personally. And for many of us, we grew up thinking that good behavior and knowledge about Jesus and attendance on Sunday makes us followers. But there's a whole lot of difference, isn't there, between being a fan of Jesus and a follower of Jesus. So we lived our lives. We weren't talking to him. We weren't listening for him. We didn't mind Jesus once a week. We didn't care if he made minor changes in our lives. But that wasn't good enough for Jesus, you see. He always wanted all of our lives. We wanted minor renovation, but he wanted complete renovation. A tune-up, but he wanted an overhaul. We wanted Jesus for part-time, but he said full-time. Give me a makeup. He said, no, a makeover. We're rearranging, but not remodeling. We wanted fixer-upper, and he wanted complete rebuild. Kyle Eidelman said that one time he heard about a man in his church who has quit coming. And so he thought, well, I have nothing to lose. So he decided he would call him on the phone. He's a brave pastor. He called him up and said, I understand you're not coming to church anymore. Why are you not coming? He said, I'm not coming anymore because every time you preach, you try to rearrange my life. And he didn't mean that as a compliment. So Kyle just said to him, he said, that's my job description. If Jesus is going to make any difference in our lives, he's got to rearrange our lives. He's got to change our life from the inside out, from the upside down to right side up. If he's not rearranging our lives, we'll never find the peace and the joy and the satisfaction of serving him. If we just want him to make us better behaved, or Jesus, would you tweak my personality so I'm more popular? Or would you fine-tune my manners? Or would you smooth out the rough spots? And Jesus said, that's not enough. That's just becoming a fan. For your life to be full and godly, it's to be a follower, not a fan. I love what the preacher used to say, all of Jesus and less of me, until there's all of Jesus and none of me. D.L. Moody said it this way, give God your life, he can do a whole lot more with it than you can. Now, Jesus gives about three examples of people who would have been fantastic followers, but they had excuses. Look, if you will, now to verse 57. The first excuse, the first fanatic that could have been a wonderful follower, said, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Now, doesn't that sound like a potential follower? Wherever you go, Lord, wherever you go, I will follow you. And notice in context, Jesus says, yeah, but I don't even have a place to lay my head. In other words, Jesus went right to the heart. This man was talking a wonderful game, but the man loved comfort more than following Jesus. You see, take up your cross is in direct conflict with the desire to be comfortable and convenient. Don't we make a God of comfort and convenience? Lord, I'm going to follow you as long as it's easy. Have you heard about the new vegetarians? Christy Pug was an example. She's 28. This is what she says. I usually eat vegetables, but I really love bacon. So a growing number of vegetarians are now calling themselves flexitarians. They say most of the time we refuse to eat meat, but once in a while we make an exception. We are committed until it becomes inconvenient and uncomfortable. So when the special is filet mignon, our commitments have to be adjusted. Now that's the way many people treat their Christian lives. Apparently, this first volunteer, I want to follow you, Jesus, but make it easy and comfortable. I want to follow you, Lord, but don't ask us to serve the poor or ask me to witness to my neighbor. Don't ask me to befriend someone of another color or confront evil or do sacrificial things over self-indulgence, or peace over violence, or forgiveness over revenge. Don't ask me, Lord, to give a percentage of my money. I worked hard for that stuff. To be kinder, treat people more fairly and positively, be less critical, less judgmental, more understanding. See, fans don't want to be inconvenienced or uncomfortable or hungry. See, a follower says no matter how much it costs, no matter what it costs, no matter how uncomfortable it becomes, no matter how long it takes, I'm going to right the wrong. I'm going to love my enemies. I'm going to lift up others on my shoulders. I'm going to find the forgotten. I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to comfort the grieving. I'm going to feed the hungry. I'm going to love the unlovely. And I'm going to encourage people when they're down. So here's a DTR, if you're in the first category. Is our relationship one of convenience and comfort, or is it one of commitment, fan or follower? Now look at the second one. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. You must go and proclaim the kingdom of God. I love what this possible follower said. First let me go. In other words, he's putting Jesus off. And so Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. The man was saying, I really want to follow you, Lord, but I want to follow you at my own time schedule. Now isn't a good time. First, Lord, let me do what I want to do. See, that's a way of putting Jesus off. That's a way of being a fan and not a follower. And it may seem very legitimate. Let me go bury my father. But the context says that the father probably wasn't even sick yet. He was just talking about putting Jesus off till they die, till my parents are gone. So Jesus is saying to him, the time is now. Don't put me off. One thing's certain, the longer you put him off, the less likely you are to follow him. Now look at the third one. Still another said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Well, what's wrong with that reason? See, the divided loyalty. I love my family and I love you, Lord. And Jesus says to the third one, I cannot have half-hearted followers. All or nothing. If you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. You're not fit for the kingdom of God. I can't have Sunday-only Christians always looking over their shoulder to see what they have missed or second-guessing their decision. It's an issue of priority. What is first? Here's the question, DTR. Is Jesus one of many, or is he your one and only? For a fan, Jesus is one of many. For a follower, he's the one and only. That's why he said, love the Lord, the greatest commandment, love the Lord with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength. And your neighbor as yourself. See, that's the kind of relationship God wants through Jesus Christ, our Savior. All or nothing. Determine your relationship with Jesus. Are you a fan? Are you a follower? And you see, it's not just one time. It goes on continually throughout our lives where we DTR. Now, let me tell you how that happened to me. 9 months into my retirement, I'm loving it. Okay, and so we could come back to church because you called Dr. Head and we were ready to go and could come back. And so we parked down in the lower 40. Anybody park in the lower 40? Okay. And you walk up the sidewalk and there are overhanging limbs and sticks all around after a storm. And I said, you know, somebody ought to clean that up. And the little voice inside of me, the little preacher voice, you know, said, if not you, who? If not now, when? So the next week, I put on my AO t-shirt and my cut-off jeans and my work shoes. I came in and checked in with the staff, Ruth and everyone. I said, I'm out there raking, don't mind me. I think they knew who I was, okay. So 2 hours in, I'm hot, tired, exhausted, halfway through long. Sat down on the blocks wall down there, drinking some nice cold water, eating some peanut crackers, and up to my left, someone comes hobbling up on crutches. I turned and looked, and there he sat down right next to me, tall, thin, bearded man, on crutches, one leg, left leg. He sat down. He said, hey man, can I have some water? In 2 minutes, I had his whole life story. Diabetic, star football player at Roswell High. Just been to the doctor. And then the question I knew was coming. You know what that was? Can I have some money? So I need some money. I need to get downtown to the shelter, the homeless shelter downtown. Give me some money. I said, look, what's your name? He said, Joseph. I said, okay, I'll call him Joseph. I said, okay, Joseph. But here's the problem. I make a policy of not giving money out to anybody. Okay? No, I don't give money out to anybody. But what I'll do is I'll give you my last bottle of water and my last batch of peanut butter crackers. At my age, that was a real sacrifice. Okay. So he took those and ate, and I said, you know, by the way, we sometimes had, in the office of the church right up here, I said, sometimes we had tokens for the bus trip downtown. Go up there and ask them. Tell them the old, hot, sweaty man outside told you to come ask. So he did. He went on in, and then he came out a half hour later, hobbling down the wall. He said, why didn't you tell me you were the retired preacher? I said, well, Joseph, I didn't think it would matter. I didn't really think about it. But I can't give you any money, but what can I do for you? He said, you know, I need some new clothes. I said, well, why don't I drive you out to North Fulton Charity and get some new clothes? He said, okay. So he hobbled around my car, handed me his crutches, folded himself up like an old army knife, and got in the front seat. So we drove out to North Fulton Charity. I know when we walked in that door, they thought, well, here are two cases. That's how bad I looked, okay? So we found him a new blue shirt, new pair of khaki pants that he pinned up the right leg. And guess what? We found a pair of size 13, which he needed, Air Jordan Nikes. They were like brand new. He picked out the left one and put it on, left the right one on the shelf. Didn't need it. So as we're going out the door, he said, you know, I hope a 13 size right-footed man comes soon to get that other shoe. I thought that was hilarious. So then I said, well, Joseph, are you hungry? Yeah. I said, okay, how about KFC? So we drove through Kentucky Fried Chicken, got him a meal, took him to the place he decided to stay with some friends in an apartment off of Oak Street. So we drove up there, we got out of the car, went onto the front porch. He introduced me as the former preacher at First Baptist Church. The two elderly people there rolled their eyes, sure. They didn't believe him until I prayed. I did the prayer. Sounded like a preacher praying, so. And we can really pray for chicken, so. So I left him there, drove on back, two more hours, okay? I'm raking the churchyard, thinking, how could I have had him help me? He said he wanted to help, and I said, well, can you bag? No. Can you rake? No. Okay. So he couldn't help me. But I came back, and I finished the work, and it was so easy. I wasn't hot anymore. The work just flowed. I got in my car. I didn't drive home. I just floated home for what the Lord had allowed me to do that day. And so when I got to my journal that night, I wrote this. I saw Jesus today. He didn't look like I thought he was going to look. He didn't smell like I thought he was going to look. He didn't have as many legs as I thought Jesus was going to have. But it was Jesus today. I had such a peace and such a joy for the opportunity and the privilege of caring for another human being, loving them, doing something for them. It was amazing. You see, I wasn't any longer a retired senior pastor. I was a follower, a continual follower of Jesus. You see, you can't retire from being a follower of Jesus. You can become a fan, but you can't retire from being a follower. So my DTR now was not senior pastor, but simply a follower who will take up his cross and follow Jesus. Did I do much that day? Not really. Not so much for Joseph. But everything in my heart for the Lord. So are we fans or followers? You have to determine it, for Jesus is asking today. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Do you give us the privilege of serving you, of taking up our cross, not when it's comfortable and convenient, but whenever you ask us to every day. So thank you, Lord. Help us to be faithful followers. In Jesus' name, amen.